is our mother for. Ja, of course, really, that member of the team is focused on us. That they create some other days. Other than working line by line. What we are ready to let you grow up on our mission. Is that we are overgrown on the days of your conventions. We know that most of you are important, qualified, things which have come very well under the circumstances. Let us start in the first direction. Our first will do the apologies. An apology.
The apologies for the Ms. Darrow. She speaks with so much safety and so very motivated and it's a more than the driving a cost-plus and the regionalization approach, where we have identified the need to increase the, or to achieve tax, because we never had a regional footprint within the province. This is just briefly the comments against the target. We have three of the programs in the course of the year under review, and this where the areas in terms of the practical objectives for program one, operations and research, which is the core business of the board, finance and corporate services that are supporting positions to the core mandate. In the prior year, largely the activities have been towards supporting the civilization of war, having started with the launching of the war, prior to the launching, the stakeholder engagement, where we started quite early in the year to engage stakeholders regarding the role of the war and their entire role or the expected role in the war delimitation. And that is where we engaged with the IEC, amongst others, the committee. We have engaged with different political parties, the traditional leaders, both national and the provincial houses, set up some effective drafts, and started with the public, we had the public office and public participation. The comments, the outcomes have been what you would see in terms of the limitation of the world. The summer, we had been able to drop all the expected, such as towards the end of the financial year, there had been other developments that informed that we didn't proceed with world limitations in some areas towards the end of the financial year. And this indicates how the draft had been done, and prior to the to be set by the minister, this was a picture that would indicate how many wards were going to be there in the country and the province. Consultations regarding the draft ward, public consultations in the three provinces, as well as making sure that we get for the first time, we engage with stakeholders prior to the drafting of ward. And the draft ward is really having no legal standing except that this assists us to start engagement with the public so that we don't consult on a plan to. We draft the words guided by the criteria, but largely as an instrument that assists us to start engaging with the public for them to entrust their own proposal guided by the criteria until we have the words that the board can then be able to limit. The capacity assessment areas in terms of networks, the one area where there have been challenges is that we couldn't meet our target, and the reasoning behind it being the sort of list of litigations and challenges that we had with the tender that has been cancelled, and that would again be highlighted a bit later. The rendering of the services advisory sector, the external achievements. The next slide deals with the largely process governance issues and we have indicated one of the key drivers being an area of looking at capabilities and positioning the board in such a manner that we are able to deliver what our mandate is, that we have to do better. Building a culture that focuses on the strategy and dealing with the limited change that we now need to strive in the objectives that are happening. Stakeholder relations. over time we had come to realize it's important to a position to elevate stakeholder and public participation in all our activities to make sure that we go beyond the vague requirement of the legislation or beyond the ordinary ticking of the box that we did it, but rather go and engage with the public in a manner that will ensure that we help the public actually taking a meaningful role in deciding on the boundaries both outer and inner boundaries. And of course, there would be other legislative challenges that we may highlight later that in some way are not empowered to control. Stakeholder engagement, when enforcing financial performance, already we are not qualified. Yes, our target has been a clean audit, but there are certain areas of audit we have to work on for us to achieve that. And in fact, in the audit that we have to work on. These are some of the areas that are of challenge that have been picked up in the Asian audit indicators. Financial results, it indicates that we have a deficit of 7.2 coming from the previous year when we had just 1.5, but this time around 7.2. A deficit that we have been able to finance through our savings, but this has been projected. We did at least start the slide where we indicated our last engagement with the committee indicated the financial standing of the board and the underfunding. That is the concern that we had. The audit outcomes reflect on some of them. The performance progress up to date, largely this relates to the Section 22, which separately you know in this particular period you would not have gone to the outer boundary process, but there was a request in terms of Section 22 where the Minister of Corporate Governance invoked his right in terms of the Section of the Act to make such a big request to the board. This largely indicates that this in terms of the request that came to the lower level of the slide, but largely the number of cases that came to the board have been 84, and the cases that fell off and ultimately the number of determinations that have been made to 12. That the teach what had been in the first. The process briefly had been gone through the Section 26 and had been decided to proceed to public meetings. And the cases that might be drawn by the minister, but like it as we indicate in March, for example, the last bullet would indicate that given the 34 cases from the minister in March already, the number had been withdrawn and the board decided to continue with 21 of those cases. But ultimately, as the previous slide on said, it indicates giving of the 21 that the board proceeded with and number fell off and ultimately delay in state three. In terms of progress, this indicates the areas that have fallen backwards, but the areas have fallen backwards because of the litigation that have been earlier on, which have not been going on par with the other cases. We have indicated there that it has been determined and the action of the decision will be published within the next few days, but so has been made now.
deviation from the norm. It's too small.
to allow the board any discretion to assist the community succeed, you know, more survival. You go out saying to the people, we are contracting, we want you to take part, but then the delegation is so small that when they make their input, the ministry go outside the norm and there is no way we can take any proposal that goes outside the norm, that because it becomes illegal. But the norm and the small margin of deviation that's allowed in some time. Type limiting not only for the but for the community that we are trying to assist, as we're saying, they should take part in talking their own water. A number of people who appear dissatisfied with the water are those that expect us to go beyond that norm. The walls as they are currently explaining units on the ground utilized by many municipalities, and they're being used quite regularly in restaurants for quite a variety of reasons, planning to the highest level, but we are still using walls just as short surfaces to allow people to elect, just mainly for elections, and we ignore that the planning function, and there has not been anything done that it is harmonized the two functions. Yes, they're being used for election, but they are quite critical planning parameters that are set on the ground in this municipality within the state is called the world. Now, if we don't harmonize the two key functions, and the one remains sort of on top of the legislation, and as being expected to just ignore that on the ground, it's not making the role of the board as well as community participation and the functioning of the municipality within the water basis within which the direct interaction happens to the community that is to become coordinated for this. In conclusion, we have to highlight that this has been a learning curve. The board came in for the first time. All boards can come in and we start working on the outer boundaries in their third year, but we had to come in and work on a number of issues at the same time, all within the legislation, but it has been quite a learning curve, and as a board, we have been empowered to even make more meaningful input into shaping the legislation through input that is making sure. And we're looking forward to the Community Committee where we just really spend the day sharing our lessons and how we revisit the new of the legislation could be directed to make it even more meaningful. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. We invite honorable members, those who want to engage with the report, further areas that we want to raise, please. Anyone want to engage? Madam, honorable Masson, honorable Madam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have 5 questions that I want to ask on the annual report of the MDE. The first is, could you get some details on the overspend on Program 3? It's an overspend of 2.2 million rand, and it goes quite a long way to that deficit that you were talking about. Can we get some breakdown as to exactly what that entails? The second is the irregular expenditure that you report in the annual report as being under investigation. What is the nature of that irregular expenditure, how was it incurred, and what is the status of the investigations in that regard? That's a 3 million rand irregular expenditure. Chairperson, then can we get some explanation as to why 2 rather simple matters were not dealt with by the board? And that is report. The first being a register of all payments that are older than 30 days. The TFMA requires that payments be made within 30 days of invoice and that a register be kept of payments that are outside of that time frame. And the board was noted, was informed of this in the last AG's report, and they didn't take the necessary steps. It's a relatively simple matter that could have been resolved. And the second is why quarterly reports were not submitted on time. Then I have a concern with regard to the presentation, and this goes more to the performance of the board. We demarcated 4,369 wards, or delimited 4,369 wards, and yet you only held 147 public meetings to interact with that according to your presentation. Now, to me that seems woefully inadequate, because it means that you're not actually involving the stakeholders in that delimitation process. If I'm wrong, I'd welcome some input as to where I've gone wrong on my calculation, but that was all for the slides and the information in your annual report. My last question is a two-part question, and it goes to the municipal capacity assessments, which, according to the presentation and chairperson, the chairperson of the board kind of glossed over the slide a little bit. There was a legislative challenge about the service provider that was appointed to do the 2013, not a legislation, a litigation challenge about the service provider that was appointed in 2013-2014. Can we get some clarity as to what is the exact state of that municipal capacity assessment process? Was the service provider appointed? Was the declaratory order issued? What exactly is the situation? Secondly, with regard to the demarcation process, surely it is absolutely essential that you have those municipal capacity assessments in place in order to do the outer boundary demarcation of municipalities. And more importantly, you have to look at the combined viability and functionality of a municipality. In other words, if you're taking two or three municipalities and amalgamating them, you'd have to say, well, if we're going to put these together, are they going to be functional when we put them together? Now, that requires some hypothesis, it requires a lot of careful input and consideration. So was that done? What is the status of that, and where are we on the capacity assessment of municipalities? Thank you, Chairperson.
Initially, the service provider has
I need to say that when we go towards world consultation, we know that working with the sponsors is probably the office of the speaker. Most of the time, because we had already provided the motivated staff, you know, what's next. Local consultation is done in each one by the municipality. So that when we go to a municipality, for example, we take a municipality with a 51, but they will have one meeting where everything covering all those 15 words will be discussed. So therefore, you don't have to go to each and every word, but go to a consolidated assembly place where everyone will come together, either present the consolidated, you know, perspective as picked up by the office of the speaker having been through each and every word, or you get stakeholders still presenting their own, you know, views on the proposal. So hence the discrepancy between the numbers. But the point is that we do go through each and every municipality to have those discussions. You already explained the litigation around legal matters with regard to corruption system. Yes, this is a very important instrument and a part of the board money. But members should also take into consideration that this is not the only source of information that the board uses. There is a number of other documents that are available that are generated by both COFTA and Treasury that we do refer to when looking at, you know, these methods. Often Treasury produces what they call the financial maturity model, you know, a financial capacity management maturity model. And COFTA has drafted, you know, or has speculated a framework document on informed by attention function. We do refer to those documents. Besides, the board does periodically commission its own formal investigation. And we use those not as the only source, but also in
conjunction with other instruments, you know, that do provide us with information. But ultimately, we broken mainly to the criteria as about, you know, in the implementation act, in appraising and in engaging those documents. So at times, you know, we would agree with some of the elements contained in those documents. At times, you know, we could be having at our disposal information that indicates, you know, otherwise, especially around certain information and so on. So yes, we do consider that, you know, as the background for our interaction with the protocol, but it's not the only, you know, source. Fortunately, Chair, just in closing, we had about a week or two ago a session that included SSA, the Office of the Surveyor General, Treasury, COGTA, the FFC, and everyone else, and said, let us all speak with one voice on capacity assessments. What is it exactly that we're looking at? So what do we mean by viability? So that in crafting our capacity assessment tool and model, it's not just a formality that we're doing the exercise, but it provides us, you know, with information that could be used by us, but also by other, you know, government entities.
Perhaps to add on the issue of the numbers of the wards, 4369 is the number of wards that we generated after the minister has determined that the MEPs have given us the number of councillors originally. That was October. And you will note that in January we received a session committee with request from the minister, which means all the consults, and in actual sense, the consultations that are reflected on slide 15 happen after that, which means all the municipalities that are affected by the proposal for municipal boundary changes were postponed. All the consultations there were postponed. So hence also the discrepancy. So, but most of those, now that the board has completed the re-examination, we are now going to into the consultation process with them.
Thank you,
Secretary.
Any other spending on the proposal. The reason on this one is because of the legal cases that you had last week. So, and I think they were also resolved here in the year under review. And payments more than 50 days again is also it's a reason again of the resignation of violent people. And the invoice, I can say, is only for one supplier that the police has picked up. And we looked at all invoices, it was only that one. And the reason also is because of the resignation. Because the invoice was given with the one-time CDA through a phone. So after your CDA resigned, you will never get an invoice.
Also, the reason I can say is based on the resignation, because the document was done requesting the extension of the GOS for that service provider, but because the CFO resigned during that period, then the document couldn't be signed. So that's the other reason. And the other one, which is the internal audit. In that one of internal audit, we can say that the reason, I think, that when they entered into the contract, we actually intended to shoot ourselves on that one because we put the amount for a contract, amount X. And when you appoint the internal audit, you need to look at the look at the figures, it may be the fee that they charge. It evaluates from the fee. Maybe, say, for instance, the senior international district has so much power, then you evaluate one day. So once we did with you, we actually put a fixed amount, and we have some ad hoc inside. So those ad hoc activities are the ones that we want to see the related things, because they were over the contract. So actually, we were made aware with the whole contract. We said, in future, we will avoid something like this.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. There are three comments. I think the first one really relates to the question of the quality of the report. That's true to send can we assure that the plan the issue is the fact
I want also to have, if they can tell us the plan to address this issue of low responsiveness to issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, and in particular in terms of the irregular expenditure. It has been highlighted that MDB is also involved around those department that has got those things. And also the policies and the procedures. We reported the very weak policies in the department, including the procedure thereof. If any other assurance of improvement on those areas, whether there is also a plan, clear plan how to address some of these issues that has been raised in the current audit report. Otherwise, the presentation is quite good, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Just two follow-ups to my earlier questions that I didn't quite understand the answers. The one related to the public participation, where the gentleman said that they worked through the Office of the Speaker, they 4,369 wards, etc., etc. I got all of that. I understood that. You know, I have no problem with that. But you had 147 public meetings out of 278 municipalities. In other words, about half the municipalities, you didn't have public meetings in. That's problematic for me. Because how then do you go ahead and delimit what's in those municipalities? That's by your numbers. I added up the numbers on your ward delimitation slide. The second question goes back to the capacity assessment. The gentleman said that you use COCTA and Treasury information as your primary resource at the moment because you haven't done capacity assessments. Now, for me, that's problematic because the MDB is a Chapter 9 institution. It is a independent entity. funded by Parliament. It should be doing its own research, it should be providing its own input, it should be providing its own assessment as to the viability and not relying on government figures that may or may not be accurate and verifiable. Now, COGSA has its own reasons for wanting municipalities amalgamated. Treasury hasn't given any real opinion one way or the other as to whether or not municipalities should or should not be amalgamated. But I do note that in your own reports, and I'll give you an example, DEM 4500, you note that the financial viability of the municipality, of the new municipality, is not guaranteed. You note that the federal, the Fiscal and Financial Commission has said that there is no benefit, that this is expensive and may result in negative impacts in your own report, and yet you proceed with that. So I question the inputs that you're getting and using as the base for your decision, and whether or not there is rationality in using those going forward.
Thank you. we are working very hard to close on those things. But it's insufficient relation to the core business. I think that we are now appointing a CEO and the committee. You will appreciate the challenges that the board has. I indicated ever since we came as the board in February 2014, there's never been a CEO in the organization. We are sitting in an organization where we didn't have a CEO for 20 months. We had people acting here and there, and it's a shame. The premier is here for 6 months. The capacity is now being built, as I indicated, the CEO will be successful. The CFO also starting in a few months' time, and corporate services and both of the talent also being appointed in those positions closed by the end of this month. This and the other indications that we are closing up using consulting firms, and we indicate that most of the challenges which we have had. The DAQ is at a high level, and I will go into the case chapter if you allow me. This is a matter that I need, of course, but on a high level, what is being challenged here, or the core of the challenge, is that the board is not independent. The board has acceded to the whims and wishes of the minister, except that it gave out following instructions from the minister and gave what the minister asked. The board had not followed procedures. So basically, it's only on procedural and on substantive matters. Yes, let's put it as such.
Yes, the Chief of Most of has already clarified and given context to the environment under which we started operating. That was the high tax turnover, managerial instability, vacancies, election corruption records. So we have had good teams in that kind of area, while managing, the foundation. But it's been quite satisfying when the AG to be told that the MDB is only 2 steps away from a pain audit. That's what the AG has been saying for me. Because on a number of substantive issues, they have found that the operations of the organization can be explained, and there are no issues. On the issue of capacity assessment, yes, again, we don't rely just on what we get from other information data sources. We do our own investigation. But members would also remember that one meeting public hearing, and there's no obligation on the part of the board to accept, not talk and bother what is being said during those public hearings. You have to engage them, look at the merit of the argument being, articulated and appraised in against the criteria. Secondly, people do write and make submissions to the board. And again, we use the same yardstick in appraising and engaging in all those submissions. Equally true is that when the commission reports, you are under no obligation to just accept those reports uncritically without interrogating them and comparing their findings to other data sources that are there available to the state, broadly. And that's what we've done with the report, fitting into Bavayans and fitting into all other municipalities. And I would just also caution, on the issue of the financial viability. This is one item out of a list of 10 items that the board has got to look at. So we don't just look at that and conclude the discussion without, going through the entire list of other criteria, items. And some of the reports, unfortunately, do get misinformed on some of the issues. And, hence we don't just take them without, interrogating them. I would end it at that chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would just like to give a little bit of extra clarity around the matter of public participation. We are presently, this week and continuing into the next few weeks, still engaging in board consultation processes. They're ongoing. So the figures that are being reported have already been done. So there will still be ward consultation meetings taking place going forward until we have dealt with all the municipalities. Just another issue that I wanted to clarify on relating to the finances and perhaps contributing to the deficit. In this present financial year, the budget was targeting doing ward consultation. We then received the Minister's Section 22 request. In essence, it resulted in double work being done by the board in the same budget cycle. So the budget had to be allocated to processes that were not considered when the budget was drafted. And that just needs to be borne in mind relating to the expenditure for the financial year under review. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let us allow them the next presentation if all our members have been working.
Thank you very much to the board for the presentation. Just one thing, Chair. I request that as soon as they have concluded the forensic reports on the processes for the appointment of the CEO, that they share that report with us as soon as it is concluded. I don't know, you know, previously I'm not sure whether it was the demarcation board or it is the CRL commission where there was a settlement with the CEO, a severance settlement amount of more than $1 million which was paid. I'm not sure, maybe just to get some clarification whether it's this one. Because remember we wanted to be briefed on that matter, and we received a commitment that we're going to be briefed, and that briefing never took place. Thank you. Because they have since become a tendency
where government is seems to be abusing its power. Especially when it comes to labor matters, people are suspended without due process of evolving forms. And when you ultimately with land disputes, the CMA will touch a flawed procedure from the beginning. The chances are that you might find yourself
and by the admission of the chairperson of the board, the probability of that person winning the case in the legal court was very high. So why get rid of it, that person? Why can't that person come back to the office? And I find that very unacceptable, Chair. But I will still insist that we get a proper report on this. Because it's something that we have agreed on, it does not happen. I think it must just happen formally, in the form of writing, and the service can stipulate to us the report.
Thank you very much. Well, I think the point is made, and I think it's taken. The board will look at those matters. I think the future is on the Facebook in that situation. Thank you very much, for the presentation. Good luck for the media organization. They're very independent institution. We want to respect that independence. So I'll continue doing the work that we do for the country. And we know that sometimes we are facing situations that are very difficult. I think we'll go to some. Thank you very much for all this. We hope the new team that we are appointing is going to assist you to do their work the way you want them to do their work. And thank you very much. That is absolutely. Okay, thank you very much. Then we'll share the reports to our leader. You can remain anyway to listen to Asha. We can't the market work without knowing Asha. Taking our fund in a rural area, put them together. Time to rise, I think. The vision and Asha are very important. It's important to listen to professor taking us through what is this cultural issue that we want to address with us, and what are the challenges.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, for affording us the opportunity to present the annual report of the CRO Commission. First, I would like to inform the Portfolio Committee that the Chair is ill-disposed. She's not well, but yesterday she participated in an investigative study which was doing on commercialization of religion in Berlin, and she's here today. I have with me the acting CEO, Mr. Mafaza, and the CFO, Mr. Schmidt. I wish to indicate also that this report is divided into three sections. The first section is the mandate, followed by the performance of the organization, and also the financial aspects. What I'll do, I'll make a presentation shortly on the mandate he's section to us, and we should give us the authority to give oversight and organization. And I'll request the CEO to deal with the performance, and the CFO to deal with the finances. Thank you, sir. We commence with the vision, the strategic direction of our organization, which is the emphasis on the respect of the diverse cultural, religious, and linguistic communities of our country in building the nationhood, which we all aspire to. Second is the driver, namely our mission, and the mission is predicated on the principles of respect, non-discrimination, and free association to ensure equality among cultural and religious communities in our country. Policy mandate, obviously, as it is well known, the CELRA Commission is constituted on the basis of the provision of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, as demonstrated in the Act provided before you, Chairperson. More importantly, the essence of what we seek to do is to create an impact in society, to improve on the impact that we seek to do, so that we then build a nationhood which is a South African type, rooted in solid, unshakable foundation of culture, religion, and language. These three are key pillars of any nation. So this commission, Chairperson, is a very important commission because it speaks to the totality of a human being. We also inquire, which is the key element of our mandate, whether the investigative study which we are conducting on commercialization of religion itself not inhibiting to the inequality that is caused by the economic environment in which we find ourselves. And this for us, because by all intents and purposes, we aim at creating a social cohesion. And in doing so, we aspire to create the linkage between social cohesion, culture, language, and religion, so that policies and legislation preserve the heritages of the marginalized people in our country. So this is very critical for us. We also identified the four programs: the communication and marketing, the public engagement and education, research and policy development, and legal services and conflict resolution, and finally, financial and corporate services. These programs are drivers to achieving the end purpose, namely nation building and social cohesion. That's where we are targeting, and the impact this should make in society. So I'll ask the CEO to quickly deal with the aspects of the accomplishment in the performance of organizations.
Thank you, Chair and DC. The accomplishments for 2014-15 financial year for the Commission, we are very much happy to report to the Portfolio Committee that the visibility of the Commission has increased quite greatly in the previous financial year. And that actually answered some of the questions that were raised in the ad hoc committee report of Kadasma, Professor Kadasma, and also the panel report. So the commission has really done very well in the past financial year. All programs in the commission, in terms of their operation, contributed to this achievement that we are talking about. Public Education and Engagement Unit, which is abbreviated as PEE, managed to conduct 17 education and awareness campaigns in the previous year. Initially, as you would have observed in the performance information table, we had only planned for 9, but we had a positive variance because of we wanted to disseminate information on Ukutana report to the provinces that the research was done. And we then had to edge our engagement, and as we have that 17 now as a positive achievement. We also managed to conduct 3 cultural, religious, and linguistic rights dialogues. And some of these dialogues were actually focusing on issues around the mandate of the commission, particularly to induct the new commissioners as they were appointed last year. And of course, others were concentrating on issues of religion and the language one into indigenous languages. The department again continued to conduct 9 provincial mini conferences. 9 provincial mini conferences were meant to also introduce the commissioners to the communities, since they were just appointed in the previous financial year. So we had to go to all provinces in the country to introduce them, and also to understand the community councils that the commission has actually recognized in the past, so that when they engage with them in the programs, they are not strangers, and they know who the leadership is. In terms of our communication and marketing unit, our marketing strategies has actually helped us as a commission to have more media campaigns and press conferences on critical cultural, religious, and linguistic rights matters in the of the commission. And evidence to that is lots of interviews that the commission was engaged in terms of TV, including SABC, ETV, AMN7, and others, but also the coverage that we got from the newspapers and the evidence we have in the offices as newspaper cuttings were done. Then we go to the research and policy development units. We have, in the previous financial year, engage ourselves in 4 projects. One is the initiation report. The second one is the Ukutana report. The third one was the report on the reuse of crates, a report on animal slaughter. Chairperson, you will remember that in the past, in our engagement as a commission with the portfolio committee, we also shared these reports. Some of them we brought to the members, for instance, initiation a report, we put on a report. We promised Chairperson that we will still bring the report on reuse of waste copies to the members, and also the one for the animal slaughter, so that the committee is always kept informed of what the recommendations we get out of this report for the purposes of legislation and policies in the country. Legal services and conflict resolution unit, we managed to deal with 72% of the 80 cases that we received in the past financial year. 54 cases were received and 31 were finalized, meaning they were closed. Culture-related cases were 25, religious-related cases were 24, language-related cases were 5. In terms of the categorization there, you will see on the slide that culture, it was about 10 cases, and then religion, 18, and then language was 3. The examples of cases, chapter 7, just for reference, they are on page 26 of the annual report, just to know the nature of cases that we have received as the commission in terms of culture, religion, and language. The commission also, from the management point of view, focused on what we call operational excellence. The commission's operation has improved substantially in the past financial year, and our newly appointed commissioners, chairperson, are quite focused and energetic as management. We really appreciate that. And under their leadership in the past financial year, we were able to review our organizational vision, goals, strategic objectives and outcomes, which we have actually also shared with the committee in our engagement in the past. Management in the previous financial year focused more on internal processes, as more of the findings from the Auditor General was more into internal controls. So we're making policies, and then management then targeted that we should actually concentrate on that and targeted March 2015 as a date in which our plenary, which is the body of commissioners, should have approved lots of internal policies so that we can be able to do our work with ease in the commission. Some of the policies that were actually approved are highlighted on page 17 of the report, Chairperson. We are also happy that in terms of the Auditor General opinion, the Terrorist Commission reports that the opinion of the Auditor General is made unqualified, as you indicated in your introductory remarks, Chairperson. Improvements were reported in respect of the following. There are no measures of emphasis, no irregular expenditure, no unauthorized expenditure, no wasteful expenditure. And it is our vision as a commission, it has been our vision since last year as a commission, that we strive to achieve a clean audit in the near future. And we have set ourselves goals that we need to achieve this clean audit. And pay more attention to the findings that we get from the Auditor General. And we are saying, Chairperson, that as management, we are prepared to implement all management techniques and governance principles that will assist us to attain a clean audit, but also to excel in our mode of taking South Africa forward in terms of service delivery in line with our mandate. Chairperson, on that slide, I will then request the CFO to continue with the panel. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson, committee members. Thank you again for the privilege to engage with you this morning. In respect of our finances, I have structured our finances to give a little bit of an overview from the first 3 years and then the 3 years projecting into the future. Firstly, just a few general notes. In our earlier discussion, our previous discussion of us today, it was also noted that there is a bit of a concern in our ratio of expenditure in respect of staff and performance. Hence, I decided that that might be a good place to start off my presentation. In the previous 2014 year under review,
The CRL Commission utilized the allocated funds effectively. We only closed off with a surplus of 100,000 rand, which is 0.29% of our allocated budget. We deem that to be one of the positive outcomes that we have achieved. We also improved operational expenditure to 49% of total expenditure. In the table below, you can see more or less comparisons. The previous year was at 38%, so we've increased expenditure on performance or on service delivery, and we decreased from 37 to 51% in respect of staff costs that we have. So we are trying our little bit to our ability to see if we cannot address the concern that was raised earlier. Then in the expenditure trend for the past 3 years, compensation of employees still increased over the 3 year period of 8.47%, which I think is very low. I trust that the year on year for other bigger departments would be different than ours. Our staff numbers dwindled a little bit from 42 to 32 permanent staff members. So our performance in this regard is coming at a price because we have less people and we need to do more work. The overall reduction in operation expenditure relate to the increment in the cost of employees, and it exceeded the cost of employees exceed our baseline allocation, which is not at that 8.47% that you need to pay them more. And the total expenditure over the period remains fairly constant. We've grown our total expenditure by 1.57% over the 3 years, and the baseline allocation only increased by 2.18%, and that is what I refer to when I talk about the 8% exceeding that growth rate there. Then there is just pictures of the narrative that I've given above. Then on the next 3 years, we expect compensation of employees to increase with 13.16% over the period. The increment is partly due to the cost of living adjustments and to performance incentives. The major contributing factor is strategic positions that the CRL Commission will need to fill. So we have the vacancies that is there that we really need the hands for, which included in these figures. And that is what make our salary growth be more than the Treasury guidelines of 5 and so on percent over the MTES. So that 13% is to fill in the critical vacancies that we have. Operational expenditure is expected to increase from 7.82% over the 3 year period. And this will just be in maintaining our current service levels. We could not really expand much in the allocation due to the pressures there. And then the baseline allocation of the CRL Rights Commission is expected to grow by 11.09% over the same period. So you will see again there's a continuation of the employee cost versus our allocation challenge that we still remain with. So it might be that we will not be able to fill those positions, although they are strategic and although we plan to fill them, we may come to report to you that they are still vacant as we continue. And that's also just a table down there showing the percentages and just giving the round figures of the percentages that I've used. Then at the end, Jefferson, we have also requested, like everyone else, we did request an adjustment to the baseline. And this is just to give you an understanding of what we have requested. We also are knowledgeable of the current financial position and the inability of government to really go and borrow additional funding. So we do not expect that this will be a realistic picture. this is a needs assessment. And we understand that government can only achieve to a certain level with the resources that's available. Hence, we can also just follow suit and achieve to a certain level. But then we planned that this as it must be an NCC in the 17-18 year National Consultative Conference. According to our Act, there must be at least two in a commission's term of 5 years. This commission didn't have one yet, as the previous commission did also only have one at the end of the term. So most probably we also see that to happen this time around. Then the provincial offices that we still wanted to implement because of our civil delivery demands, it is important to be closer to our communities. It is also expensive to fly all over and to stay in hotels and all of that. And that was one of the requests of Treasury also in the budget guidelines, that was that the departments and institutions must limit, we must actually report a cut of, I think it was a 5 or 10% in the outer years in respect of those expenditures. But for the CRL, because we do not have regional representation, it is really having a direct impact on our performance. So we did report that, but it's also like our staff, if you come at the cost. Then that's just the total of what we've requested. Chairperson, I think, and that will... Sorry, no, I still have one slide, I apologize. The CRL Commission remain under constraints in respect of financial resources. We have a vision to expand services and improve the response times as well as increase the scope of delivery. This vision will require financial resources to create sufficient capacity and deliver those services. Then funding of the CRL Commission to be brought on par with other Chapter 9 institutions to enable the Commission to continue to contribute, sorry, to the national unity and the stability as industries in the National Development Plan. We have made this point earlier, so it's not maybe necessary to stress it too much, but we are a little bit behind in respect of our other peer group institutions in respect of funding. The CRL Rights Commission provided its ability, or commission proved its ability to deliver services with limited resources, to employ the limited resources effectively in compliance with the legislation, if you look at the improvements of the audit outcomes. And then in order to improve service delivery further, that it will require investment. Chairperson, I think that is the point.
Well, we can invite members to make comments and put questions on our discussion.
Okay. Thanks for the speed of improvement. I can feel a pattern in terms of the cash flow. But my concern is also based upon the auditor general report. In terms of your leadership, there were a lot of gaps in terms of HR management, and in your presentation I can see people also leaving the department. Maybe if you can have some explanation there as to what is happening. But also you are one of the departments as well that is not doing very well in terms of performance management system, even in finances. How are you going to, do you have a plan? How are you going to address these issues? Or what do you have a plan that can assure us as to that in the next current financial year you will be in a better situation than what it is right now?
Thank you, Chairperson. A couple of questions. First of all, your own audit committee has expressed concern about the content and quality of your financial reporting. That obviously raises a red flag for me, and I'd like to know what you are doing to improve your content and quality of financial reporting. Secondly, and my colleague Honourable Mpepa has touched on the AG's report, some of the concerns of the AG were that you didn't, the accounting officer did not exercise adequate oversight over financial reporting and compliance with legislation. He expressed concern about the reliability of your information, and that your financial statements were not always reviewed prior to submission for audit. Now, those are, again, as I said with the NDE, straightforward functions of your CFO and CEO. They should be doing these things as a matter of course. So I'd like some reassurance that that is taking place. In your annual report, amongst your performance indicators, there were two that stood out for me. The first was your supplier database, where you indicated that you hadn't achieved your target of getting 100% of suppliers registered. You only had 50% of suppliers registered. Well, if they're not registered, you shouldn't be using them. So there needs to be a concerted effort on the part of the Commission and its officials to make sure that suppliers are registered prior to tender, etc., etc. You also indicate that 27% of audit queries had not been resolved. And again, this is something that arises from the previous financial year. So if you want a clean audit, you've got to start by addressing the concerns of the AG from his last audit and current audit, and then say, okay, now we're going to build to a clean audit. One big area of concern for me is that it's very difficult to see how you are spending your budget. I get the breakdown on compensation of employees, and I get the breakdown on goods and services, but by program, by activity, what are you spending by program and by activity? So that you can see if you are adequately prioritizing your performance indicators, etc. Then, two of the issues that you raise in your report as issues that you dealt with over the past year. The first one, I'd like some clarity on your role as a commission on the Traditional Health Practitioners Act. It's an act that's been around for about 8 years now, and it belongs primarily under the Department of Health, as I understand it. So I'd really like some clarity as to what your role is in that. There's a distinct lack of information in your report. Then, also on page 37 of your report, you talk about the Mpumalanga Witchcraft Suppression Act of 2007. And on the same page and on the next page, you talk about the Witchcraft Suppression Act of 1957 and how this is an apartheid construct, how it discriminates against women, etc., etc. I'd really like some clarity as to whether there has been any liaison with the Mpumalanga legislature, whether there has been any discussions, any research, or anything like that about the Mpumalanga Act and its constitutionality, its relevance, etc., in light of the fact that you are seemingly opposed to the 1957 Act, and whether, in fact, there's any action being taken on that 1957 Act to have it removed from the statute books. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Professor and the team.
Thank you, Chairperson. On issues of management, I want the CEO and CFO to address, and I'll address the critical strategic issues relating to us. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll start with the question from Honorable Mutekla, the issue around the Auditor General report. HR people leaving and the issues of performance management. I must say, as a, from the beginning, Chairperson, that we, as a commission, we are taking very seriously all the audit findings that are coming from the Auditor General. And we
have developed even a plan of action to address those. But we also believe that we might have started a little bit late to implement them, but we are on track and we promise that the improvement will actually be better than what we see now. Actually, if you look at the overall audit, Auditor General's report, you will find that we were sitting at 156 pages in the previous financial year, and we are now below 100 pages. And that, to me, is an indication that we are paying attention to what they have raised. And we hope in this current financial year, the pages will still be reduced. Some issue things, Honorable Mutetwa, we do not have control over. When people get greener pastures and you don't have money to counter offer, as we are always crying before the committee, as you know, they leave us, and when they leave, we are left with no people. And many of the people who have left the organization, it was out of their own voluntary resignation. We do not actually have any case as we speak now that we had actually forced anybody in the previous financial year to leave the organization. They left voluntarily. In terms of the performance management, yes, one of the critical areas that was making us to have a challenge is that we had not reviewed our performance management system since it was there maybe 5 years back. We've done that now, and we are also following steps to capacitate our management by, you know, taking them for performance management training so that they can deal with issues of performance more effectively and efficiently within the organization. And we're learning every day, and we've put systems in place as well. For instance, we've introduced even monthly reporting from each and every staff member as a monitoring tool also for performance management. As a commission currently, we have even introduced timesheets, you know, for each and every employee of the organization in order to enhance this performance information and management tools that we have within the organization. So it's something positive. There are quite a number of things that we can actually talk to just show that we are really paying attention to this performance management challenge that we're faced with. The issue of quality of financial statements and the content as well raised by, I think, the Honorable Mellon. The CFO will add to that, that my duty as the CEO of the organization is to make sure that this performance agreement talks to issues that auditors have actually raised. And I've just reviewed this performance management now so that we can be able to deal with these issues and monitor them closely as auditors are raising them. So all financial statements as we speak now, they are due every on the 10th of every month, and we hope that the quality of such financial statements, they go through management now in order to make sure that we provide oversight. They then go to the financial committee, then they go to the audit committee, and also go to plenary. These are systems that are in place to make sure that we have quality control and provide oversight to our financial statements, Honorable Money. But the CFO will also add on that. The reliability of information, as it was raised by the Auditor General, is actually coming from the Public Education and Engagement Unit, wherein you find that we have reported that we have reviewed the standing of community councils in the previous financial year to a number of 245 and then to a number of 75. But when they went to check in our database, they found that we had actually done more by 170. If you can look at the performance table, you will see that it is a positive variance. And that's where the reliability of information is coming from, because they thought that we did not give them the correct
figure of what we had actually reviewed in terms of community campus spending within the organization. So we, it was just an omission which we there and there told the auditor that no, it's because we had extra hand within the unit in terms of the intern, and then we happened to do more, but we had already reported 75. So that was rectified, but as you know, once auditors have done their work, it's very difficult for them to move once their questions are put down. But there is a bunch of information coming from there. The issue of the supply database, that we should not use them is correct, but the CFO will also talk to that. But we have put a system in place now. We are updating our database. You know, we did not have enough human resources, but now we've just got one temp to assist us in updating our database so that, you know, everyone complies. But I must also say that we do not use people who do not comply. Otherwise, we were going to have challenges with the auditor. They are just there, not updated, but then we are not using them, and we are working on that. I'm not sure, CFO, maybe you'll talk to the issue of expenditure by programs and activities, and the issue of 27% of audit findings that were not dealt with. I think it's squarely within your competence.
Jefferson, I will add just a few sentences to what my CEO has reported. The thing about the review of the financial statements and the quality and the content of the financial statements, we have taken note of this. This is one of the major focus areas of my office for this financial year, to improve on that. Also, making sure that the review is done properly is also about the time that financial statements are prepared and ready for review. Those we have included in the performance management of myself and of my manager in the finance section as a reporter. So we trust that together with the reports to all the other committees will assist us to improve the quality of the financial statements. The matter of the financial statements not reviewed, it's covered there. Then the supplier database. It is not that 50% of our suppliers is not registered in the database. Our suppliers is all registered in the database. But what happens is that they do not update you with their expiring tax clearance certificates and BE certificates and all those matters, which is renewable on an annual basis currently. So then it requires us, when we do procurement, to get those documents from them before they can quote for us and before we can proceed with the procurement processes, which is creating a little bit of a delay when you want to process the procurement requisitions. And that is what the report reflected on, is the fact that we do not so actively update those reports. So currently we are in the process, as the CEO has reported, to write them letters and to get the right declaration of interest and all that, so that we have updated information in our database. But we can honestly say there was no procurement done with any supplier that was not in the database and that did not supply us with updated information beforehand. It is not that we have transgressed, otherwise there would have been irregular expenditure. On the breakdown of the programs and activities, I apologize that I did not include it in my slide presentation. I will make note of that for future reference, and then we can commit to submit to you the breakdown of the 14-15 per program information. If you can allow us maybe by end next week, then we can submit that.
Thanks, CFO. The last one, just over to the Deputy Chair, has to do with the Mpumalanga
witchcraft act. Yes, thanks, Jefferson. So I think, Honorable Melan, it would be fair for us to say this analysis of this act and the discussions were done by our research unit while we were launching the national, we were conducting a national dialogue on ritual killings and witchcraft at Freedom Park in Johannesburg. So it was not a direct engagement with the Mpumalanga province, but it was an analysis of their act and its consistency in terms of the constitution and the national legislation. Of course, we were doing this to input also to the process, I think, that was started by the Law Reform Commission on the Witchcraft Act of 1957. So that, you know, we can also input in the whole process of reviewing the Act. So that's where we were operating from, and that's where we have ended. But I think you have given us some wisdom in terms of asking this question, that perhaps we should also pay attention to this Act and engage the provincial legislature in terms of how they, you know, they can infuse cultural and religious and language rights and mainstream them within their legislation and policies in provinces as much as we do with the national government. Thank you very much. Over to you, Dr. Chair.
Just to understand, Chairperson, that at the commencement of our tenure, we actually visited Mpumalanga to meet the traditional leaders on this particular issue, because we believe they are the custodian of culture. If anything has to be changed, it must be changed in their concurrence so that it is a buy-in for the entire country. So that matter is fixed with us. We also visited Eastern Cape as well as the Limpopo, and on these matters of culture, specifically with these acts in mind. So we hope that in terms of the MOU that we are working on and our workshop which we are preparing, we'll be able to deal with this substantively in those matters. But the key one, Chairperson, has to do with our audit. We have taken a proactive stance as oversight management of the institution. I see it in the audit commission. And whenever we receive an audit finding, we prioritize that at the next audit committee, they must serve an indication of how far we are. So we are simply what is given assurance that that aspect is one of our, we're putting our gaze, our size on it. But next time we come, I'll be over here, so we know and what indication our loss of gaze and understanding and source and oversight on these issues. So we are really very much there. I think those are the two things that we are trying to do, as far as making sure that there is a proper management of the organization. In our view, since we took over, we can see substantively that there is a progress that we are making, slow but sure, that at the end, the portfolio committee will be happy about the performance of the CRM Commission.
Chairperson, just before you hand over to the Honorable Souf, actually, there is a question. The answer that I've given on traditional, on Mpumalanga witchcraft review and so on and so forth would also apply to our role to the traditional Health Practitioners Act as it was raised.
So with my apologies, I neglected to answer to the 27% of all the queries that was not addressed. But as my deputy chairperson has indicated there, we are having registers and plans in place to really put the effort to make sure that this year there is no audit queries that are repetitive. The ones that is, there is probably many ones that came over a long period, so we're reducing them and we're going to clean them, and we aim to do it this financial.
Yeah, in terms of the also, again, I'm reading this financial statement basing on the audit general report, that you still need to do a lot in terms of the unauthorized expenditure. The report of the auditor general reported that there's no change in that field. But while you are also being read on the other side, but in terms of responding to that, there's no change. Find a way to address that.
Sir? Your application has been approved. You would be a very good woman. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
You would be a very good wish doctor. Yeah. You will start with me. Colleagues, thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you, Professor Ilechi. Very useful for us to deal with some of these issues. And of course, they are very important issues. We have to work in all parts of the country. I think it's important that you always work on these matters, that you don't end up in a situation where in other countries people are certainly aimed at business, particularly those who are very well financed. I hope that we'll be able to really catch it up with everyone in our country and also in the country. But we can't do that unless there's the cultural consciousness, that people cultural consciousness. We wish also that we'll succeed in dealing the question of religion that is almost becoming a business. And I think you're aware of that, I think we'll assist us also. Because in every corner now, there are few churches that from Friday, from Monday to Monday, people are praying. Hope that they pray and work, that it seems that very difficult. And then we should work to be in the system that will assist us to do so. I think your commission is a very important commission that can assist us to bring up our social cohesion and enlightenment for people, and addresses many challenges that we are facing on the cultural level. And I hope that as we play our role also, we can contribute a lot to the renewal and the revival of our country. It's a lot of work. We know all of us that money is not there. Resources that are there not to use for money, because there's no money there that we can get. Budget, I think, that shrinks down everywhere because of the nature of the economic system in the world that makes it difficult to have, you know, the rest of employment. Then it's a way to balance whatever we do, but make more impact. Hopefully, we'll be able to mobilize people to always attend a workshop, seminars, NGOs, etc. Engaging with them. I think we shouldn't take this commission lightly. It's a very important commission. Because one thing that is very difficult to change is the culture of people. And it takes long to change the culture and the belief of people. I think this commission can assist us a lot to address some of the challenges that we face. And also, some of the things that always read about what is happening in other countries, and we can see that ourselves, because we are a magnet of migration, and then those people may also land in the West Coast of the future. It's just important that we do that, and hopefully you'll succeed in addressing the question of initiation. And it's important also to locate it correctly, what is the initiation all about. But if we don't do that at the cultural level, we are aware that the initiation now is also going to urban areas and how they all other areas. They will need to achieve to assist us to raise the consciousness of our people around some of these issues. Taking a view that there is no culture that is getting culture changes. And then I think it's very important for you as a team to assist us on this and linguistic issues. And in all our isolated general guaranteeing, it's very, very important that we do so. There's a lot of work to do, and I'm not sure how to do things
Botswana. I think we have concluded a welcome this time. Organize a workshop with traditional leadership. Have a discussion with them. I think the problem is the ocean of culture at the Ula system. And that's it. We are not disputing culture. It's really a question of culture. And it's really many challenges that we are facing. I think there's a lot of work that we still have to do, all of us. And the cultural side of things, we are removers. And we are not having to converse with us in our session. I'm sure that in this constituency, some workshop are conducted to work out some of these issues. And in my view, it's very important to use constituencies, the offices of members of parliament, all members of parliament across party lines, just to have interaction with communities and not also get involved members of parliament. I'm not sure why their communities are not engaging on bigger issues that worry society, and then engage on this issue and ensure that we are able to raise the consciousness of it. And hopefully also start to the additional side for a richer side. We are still very complex with the difficult that can always be used for power gains. It's a very difficult area of discussion, and we wish you well. I think we will address some of the challenges of the CFO that have been identified by the rest in Iran. But all in all, we are told that your report is unqualified. I think we can build on it. Maybe we'll reach a stage where there's a king report. And the only man can be knows what is a king report. Because I think there's one report of the commission here. And we are saying that is an unqualified report with no matter of emphasis. I think it's a report. I guess that a report like that, I thought that when I was young, that they came before. But it's not a clean report at this moment. I think the very complex thing of this clean report, what does it mean in actual terms? And because otherwise it seems everybody is struggling for this clean report. You can end up failing to do the right thing. We're on the ground for the clean report purpose. I think thank you very much for this, and thank you for funding, and thank you for the demarcation board. Both of you are facing great challenges. And you must feel you on the ground. The cultural people must feel them on the ground. I don't think you are feeling you on the ground, must feel you on the ground, that you are dealing with issues that affect community at a cultural and religious level. And not mine, but just to feel you, that they are working for the engaging community, the dialogue in our society about some of these issues. I think if you can assist us to do so, we will be very happy. And we will be very, very happy. And I think that's what is expected from all of us to do. And then thank you very much for coming. Good work. We hope the one success. And then next year, then put it report as it's clean. And then the situation now is almost there. Don't go down and solve that problem. I think we'll improve when we wish you well to our work. And I think from time to time we'll meet with you here. Just to have discussion about some of the issues around your seminar, around your dialogue. How do we all engage to ensure that we play our meaningful role also as members of parliament? That we don't come here once a year to one or four. But generally engage with how to take the struggle forward. Because it's a very important side of consciousness at a cultural level. Because without culture, we are able to do a very productive society. I think that's what we have to do and ensure that we address the challenge that we face. Thank you very much. Thank you, honorable members. Tomorrow there's no meeting. Honorable members. I will meet next week and finalize our report. And then finalize everything. And then thank you for your contribution. Thank you very much. Very grateful that you have come to give us some information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.